This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from FEMA Region 5 in the new media production studio designed by Audimute.com in Coldwater, Michigan. The lead news stories tonight are National Guard being called in to help with the election. Buying Amazon basic products could be dangerous to your health. Portland has a full-on ban on facial recognition. And Air TV, yes, Air TV Anywhere. We're going to talk about a new product. I want to welcome you to episode 1474 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, September 10th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for checking the show out. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com, get subscribed to the show. You'll find all the options to subscribe to this podcast right in the right-hand column of the website, along with links on the bottom of the website to, or near the bottom or in the middle of the bottom, to sign up for the newsletter. We want you to be part of the family here. Get subscribed to the show. That's probably the most important thing. You can join our chat room as well at geeknews.chat. We've got our Discord channel. That's linked at geeknewscentral.com. If you want to be part of our Slack channel, you can. All you got to do is send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. We'll get you hooked up. And of course, that is the best way to contact me. geeknews@gmail.com is the email address, or at Geek News on Twitter. I'm on Facebook as well. Of course, the partner shows are all linked at geeknewscentral.com. And I'm going to tell you, get over there and check out all our great shows that we have linked up, whether it be the new media show, whether it be the content on the Pro Gear Guru site, the Gadget Professor, GNC Week in Review. Of course, lots of content there being put out by me, by this team. So definitely check it out. Get a chance if you get it to do so. Of course, this show is sponsored by our good friends at GoDaddy. GoDaddy's been a longtime sponsor here of the podcast. I'm going to tell you, it's been a great ride, and we definitely appreciate their ongoing support of this show. The most important thing you can do to support this show really is to share my codes, my promo codes, with all your friends, family members, people that you know, people that you Zoom with now that you're seeing in the office. Again, over at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy is the location. And all those codes are there, whether it be a 30% off product purchase code at $499.com, whether it be a dollar a month economy hosting for the first year with a free domain, or a dollar a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. We've even got a trial of GoDaddy Website Builder, your choice of personal business or business plus plans. All those codes can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Check all those deals out. Save lots of money. That's the best way to go about this. And we definitely want you to use all the codes and share the codes. That's the most important part. Again, thank you for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here of the podcast. We definitely appreciate their ongoing support. And your ongoing support as well. Okay, so let me get you kind of caught up. It's been a week. I was off for Labor Day, and it's Groundhog Day. It really, truly is. The only difference is it's getting colder. It was 60-something this afternoon, and I really, 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 really despise wearing long pants. I really do. And I feel myself giving in a little bit, because last night I about froze, and it's not that cold out yet, but my blood's still pretty thin after 25 years in Hawaii. So It was chilly, 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 chilly. Now, it's just one of those things. So I'm still wearing shorts. I'm hoping that we get an Indian summer where things start warming up again. But man, it's been chilly to me. And this is not really that cold. In other news, my son is getting ready today. He's leaving Honolulu with his girlfriend. They're flying out to Los Angeles, so they're making the move, and they will arrive tomorrow morning to Orange Skies, I think. So anyone that's out there in the California or in any of the adjoining states that have all these issues with the fires, I know one of our employees out in California is not necessarily in a danger zone, but lots of smoke in their area and affecting them. So, Sean, I hope you guys get through this. I know it can be tough when it's bad like that during the fire season. But anyway, thoughts to all of you that are out in California, Mr. Michael Dare and everyone. Please be safe out there. That's really the critical piece. So, we just want you to stay safe. I did have a conspiracy that came in, and this is from Mr. Fixer, and he has provided me an interesting one. So for our conspiracy theory segment of the show, he says, I have a friend, a Vietnam War vet, who shared with me what I would consider to be a conspiracy, because it's not well known. As you may have heard, war is big business. Of course it is. Big, big business. And the Vietnam War was nothing but a moneymaker for many, including the First Lady, Lady Bird Johnson. Allegedly, she owned the shipping company, which was used for ferrying all the supplies and materials to support that campaign. Ho, ho, ho. Interesting conspiracy. So any Vietnam vets listen to the show? Did you all hear that as well? Is that something that is well known? Was there any truth to that? Or is it, again, all rumor control? We'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Definitely send an email to geeknews@gmail.com. We've been getting a lot of response here recently, and especially from the last show. We got a lot of stuff that came in from those of you that listen to the show. So we definitely appreciate your feedback. It is greatly, greatly appreciated. But, be honest with you. Things have just, it's been like, I don't know if I said it earlier, it's just kind of been like Groundhog Day, going through the grind. And my schedule this week is better because I purposely blocked out sometimes each day to get some work done where I was not in meetings. I'm doing that now a couple of weeks in advance. Just a couple hours here, there throughout the week to make sure that I get extra time to get the things I need to get done. And that seems to be a good strategy. We got a whole bunch of stuff going on, and it's all kind of like racing together at one time. It's, all these projects are kind of condensing to come into one spot. And I do apologize. I'd talked about in the show some time ago about potentially hiring someone to do social media. And we really happened upon a deal. And I shouldn't call it a deal, but it just was too good to be true, too good to pass up. One of the universities down in Ohio, and around the Columbus area where we're at, they have an internship program where we have to pay the intern a fair wage. And we do all our interns. We pay them a fair wage. They actually pick up half of the salary for that intern during the internship. And, wow. So anytime you can get half the salary picked up by the university, so they're trying to work real hard to get students into internships right now, it's really difficult. So, all our interns are working from home. It's no big deal. So I know I had put the word out and a couple of you had responded and said you had interest. I kind of got preempted. I could not pass that deal up. So we were able to get a gal that started social media last week with us, doing social media stuff, doing research. So we're excited to have her on. Her name's Sydney. She's going to be with us through the fall here. So something that we're probably going to continue as it just lightens the load off of little things that I typically would do that I don't necessarily have to do anymore. And that's helped out a great deal. I've tried to think, and what I've gotten to the point. How many of you, most CEOs in companies, I don't have anyone that's like direct staff. In other words, I don't have a personal assistant. I don't know if it's the correct term anymore. I don't have a secretary or anything like that. And, but yet there's so much stuff that I do that there's just no way I could hand that off to someone. So I've been really, really working hard at taking everything that I can that I need, that doesn't need my, I guess for a better word, the scrutiny, and pass as much of that off to other team members. And it's hard to piecemeal stuff off, because some stuff you just can't. And, you know, as an example, I still do a lot of corporate sales calls, and I, you know, I'm the one that knows the most about the products and services that we offer, and can talk to just about any level when it comes to, you know, I can talk to a radio station executive all the way down to individual podcaster, to someone that's launching a network. In fact, I'm talking with a group out of Los Angeles right now, and something, a very interesting project. And this stuff just takes a little bit of time, but it's also the cultivation and the relationship you build for business, and it's how you bring in the big corporate customers. And while we still really focus on the indie side, we have that full spectrum. And so I don't know, maybe sometime here in the next year, maybe I'll look at doing a PA, but I really don't know what that person would do. So what do you guys, you know, when you're working in your businesses and different stuff, what type of folks does your boss, or if you are the boss, who do you surround yourself besides, you know, who do you have that maybe works directly for you, you know, as your assistant or something like that? I just don't know if I could, how I would be able to find someone that would be able to take over a lot of the stuff. And really, that's not what you're looking for, but it's just do that busy work. But some of it is just email. And finally, I'm at inbox zero today. That was fantastic. All right, so I'm going to ahead and move on here. And when you're a small company, you have to wear a lot of hats. It's just the way it is. So I'm going to go ahead and move on and get into the show. And I hope you're all doing well. And I know that it's, you know, fast approaching the fall. It's hard to believe this whole 2020 has just been a wreck. Train wrecked from the very, very beginning. It's insane. But let's, you know, here we are, 2 months out from the election. Everyone's seeing it everywhere. Everyone's talking about it everywhere. It's quite, you know, and it's just, I can't hardly turn on anything on TV. I was on YouTube. And finally, it just got to the point where there are so many political ads being played on stuff that, I paid for the YouTube premium stuff for whatever it is, $14 a month or something, like, just to get the commercials off. I just can't handle the all the political ads. It's just boom, 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 boom. It just sucks. So with the election stuff going on, apparently because of the pandemic, there's cybersecurity experts in short supply. And I wish my son could see this article, and maybe I'll text it to him, but with election cybersecurity experts in short supply, some states are calling in the National Guard. The aid is especially for rural areas or small jurisdictions that may be short-staffed, and which federal authorities say are likely the most vulnerable to hackers. So if you live in North Carolina, Warren County has only 3 full-time staff members, and none of them are computer specialists. That could matter in a year in which foreign governments are eyeing ways to disrupt the election. So the county's election director has welcomed cybersecurity experts from the state's National Guard to help shore up the system. She says, I'm in a small county. It affords me the opportunity to feel comfortable with my IT and where I am compared to a larger county in the state. Now, the National Guard is often associated with more physical tasks, such as helping with disaster relief, riots, and so forth. And of course, dealing with stuff that's been going on recently in many big cities, but some states across the country are calling on the Guard cybersecurity specialists to help with routine but vital tasks, providing basic cybersecurity to help election officials. That aid is especially important, again, in rural areas and small jurisdictions. So I thought this was interesting. The North Carolina National Guard Cybersecurity Response Force has done cybersecurity assessments in more than 30 of the state's 100 counties. Under Lieutenant Colonel Seth Barn, the force has responded to 35 attacks since 2018, including a malware attack. We say this is what yours look like. This is what the industry's best practices should be, and here's what we would do to fix it. So other states have called National Guard members for different election security needs. Ohio National Guard has biweekly calls with state secretary of states and has an open call for civilians with techno experience to help with the 2020 election. Minnesota Guard joins state election officials for cybersecurity walkthroughs. Colorado helps monitor network traffic to state election websites. And the National Guard's embrace of cybersecurity mission has been building for years. So we know that the DOD is increasing put resources into cyber training. So it's very interesting here that they're doing this. You know, like they said, 10 years ago, they knew there were viruses out there and people would buy virus protection. Now we've seen all the instances of cybersecurity theft and cybercrime. People have a desire to have better protection across the board. And I'm sure now that everyone's working from home, it's even more. So it's interesting here, the National Guard's being used with help to do cybersecurity in your cities and counties. I think this is a good use, especially when counties are small, budgets are short, you know, these folks can be called up and used in time of need. So what do you think? What do you think about the use of the National Guard to do cybersecurity on election systems in rural areas or small jurisdictions? I guess there's always plus and minuses to everything. But it's definitely an interesting move. All right, Amazon basic products are going up in flames, literally. But not enough for Amazon to stop selling them. A news network found reviews for more than 70 products describing safety risk. Some of the stories about the dangerous products are harrowing. And one, a man who went to the hospital after his chair caught on fire while he was sleeping, apparently due to a melted USB cord. An Amazon basic microwave caught fire when an 8-year-old heated up a macaroni and cheese cup. One man saw fire coming from an Amazon basic surge protector while only a single phone charger was plugged in as his baby slept in a room nearby. The news network counted at least 1,500 reviews since 2016 for more than 70 items that describe products exploding, catching on fire, melting, causing electrical malfunctions, and otherwise posing risk. Amazon has taken down some of the items the customer reported to be dangerous, like the USB cable and surge protector, though many still remain on the site. And within the more than 1,500 reviews, many consumers explicitly called out items as potentially dangerous or using a term such as hazard or fire, saying the product should be recalled. Despite the many reported safety issues, however, Amazon has only issued 2 official recalls of Amazon basic products. The Federal Communication Product Safety Commission has only received 10 reports over 8 years that mention an Amazon basic product with concerns similar to those in the news network review. So have you had any problems with any type of product from Amazon basic? Those of you that don't know, and I'm sure many of you do, Amazon basic products are just relabeled stuff that comes from some Chinese company that produces them in mass and at almost no cost. So a lot of electronic stuff is just basically, it doesn't mean it's come from an American company. You know, when you're buying Amazon basic paper or diapers or whatever you may be buying on Amazon basic, the electronic stuff, you know, you get what you pay for. It's just like going to a low-cost electronics store and buying low-cost cables. You know, oftentimes you get what you pay for. And some of the best cables that I have found come from Monoprice. I've had great cables from them over the years. And I pay a little more for them, but they've been pretty rock solid. I haven't run into any issues. Now, I'm not saying that they're not sourcing this stuff from similar places like Amazon is, but I've had good luck with Monoprice stuff. How about you? What kind of cables? What kind of electronics? What are you, you know, the run-of-the-mill stuff, USB chargers? What type of stuff are you buying? And have you had any problem with Amazon basic products? So there's a dual review. CNET's got one. So does The Verge. I'll have both those up in the show notes. You can review, but keep an eye on your stuff. Portland officials passed strict ban on facial recognition system. Even private companies won't be able to use them. It's just not local government units such as the police that can no longer use facial recognition under the city's new regulation. Private businesses can't deploy the technology in public spaces either. That means places like hotels, stores, and restaurants can't use facial recognition where customers will be present. The bill passed unanimously, and it will be enforced starting January 2021. Businesses caught violating the law could be sued and pay a fine up to $1,000 a day. In the document detailing the ordinance, the city council noted that the Black, Indigenous, and people of color communities have been subject to over-surveillance and disparate and detrimental impact of the misuse of surveillance. It added that face recognition technologies have been documented to have an unacceptable gender and racial bias and explained that the city needs to take precautionary action until these technologies are certified to be safe to use and civil liberty issues are resolved. Portland officials first revealed that they were working on the bill back in November 2019, and if the bill passes, it will be the first to prohibit private businesses from employing facial recognition systems. A report by Motherboard says Amazon spent $24,000 lobbying council members after that in an effort to convince them to soften the bill's language. And they did not. So now cities. Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler said he hopes the city's legislation would inspire other local governments to pass tougher facial recognition laws. So, I don't know where you live, but in my rural community that I'm living in now, we've had a massive, massive insurgence. Houses are going on the market and being bid on and bought largely from people that have left the cities and are coming into rural America, at least in my community. I'm about 2 hours from Detroit. I am 45 minutes from Battle Creek Mission. I'm 45 minutes from Jackson. I'm about an hour from Kalamazoo. Some of those cities have had some challenges. And people are snapping up country homes like, man, if you're in the market to sell a country home right now, holy cow, it is a time to sell. No one wants to be in the cities. And what about in your neighborhood? Are houses selling quick? Are they going up on the market? Where are people coming in from? It's definitely happening here. And with the situation going on in Portland and different cities, I don't blame people for fleeing and getting their families out of some of these cities where this chaos is going on. And so this is an instance where, you know, I've been kind of down on facial recognition for a while. And it's an interesting move here by Portland. So we'll see what happens. What say you? Geeknews@gmail.com. Air TV Anywhere allows you to watch and record local channels remotely. You know, Sling TV has leveled up Air TV. There's another product out there like this, but Sling TV has introduced a way for you to easily watch Netflix and local news on the same device. Even when you're away from home, the company updated one of its distinct products, Air TV, to allow you to view and record local over-the-air channels on your TV or streaming devices. Air TV Anywhere is a Wi-Fi-enabled hub that is the company's latest effort to encourage you to cut the cord on your cable subscription. So once you connect your smartphone or tablet to an Air TV Anywhere antenna, you can use the free Sling TV app to watch and record local channels from anywhere in the U.S. This unique setup also limits the need to wire multiple homes with antennas to view OTA. So I've got curiosity about this here because in my office, as part of the internet package, I had to buy a triple play. I had to buy internet, TV, and a phone line. And I don't use the phone line. I don't even know what the number is. The TV is basically, I think I got 14 channels or something like that. It's the lowest possible package. But if I could hook up one of these Air TV devices here in the studio, the few channels that I have that I like could potentially replace YouTube TV in the at the compound. And so I'm going to look into this a little bit. Air TV Anywhere is available at $199. I got good internet here in the studio, so I could hook that up. And actually then when I'm in at the compound, I could watch if I want to watch news or whatever. I could, but I wouldn't have to have YouTube TV to do it. So sounds like maybe there's something in my future here. So time will tell, because it would save me, you know, $50 a month or whatever I pay for YouTube TV. Apple Music for Android contains mentions of rumored Apple One service bundle. And of course, we're probably going to know about this pretty soon. September 15th is the date for the iPhone 12 event. And we're probably going to see it there. Hey, I should have mentioned, gosh, I forgot all about it. Here we are on September 10th. Tomorrow is 9/11. And it's hard to believe. Hard to believe. Just it truly boggles my mind just a little bit that it's been literally 19 years. 19 years since attack on America. Crazy. It really is crazy to me. It's been that long. And so much of my life right after 9/11 was absorbed by, you know, flying combat with the Navy. So it's pretty pretty amazing to me. It really, really is to think that it's been that long. It just shows you how time flies. It's pretty hard to believe, ladies and gentlemen, that this show will soon be 16 years old. That's the more crazy thing. Okay, moving on here. New Google Finance redesign for desktop and mobile web. So, as a matter of fact, I heard today that some New York investment companies are calling their employees back, saying, "Hey, time to come to the office. No more working from home. Get your butt in here." And I think they're going to start on September 21st. So, the financial sector, they want their traders back in the office. So we'll see what happens with that. But anyway, this new Google Finance redesign for desktop and mobile. So if you do any of this trading or anything like that, it's a new app you can check out. Drone firm DJI. And of course, I love DJI drones. I think I've flown my drone once this summer, which now is, I think summer's over. But DJI promises local data mode to fend off U.S. government mooted ban. Apparently, DJI is getting rumors that they might be preparing, the U.S. government might be preparing to ban its remote-controlled aircraft from American skies. And so DJI is trying to be very proactive. Said in a statement, DJI said its local data mode eliminates internet connectivity and prevents the transmission of all drone data over the internet, promising to add to its DJI Go 4 and DJI Fly flight control apps within the coming months. This expansion brings local data mode to operators of all recent DJI drones, allowing commercial and government customers, including public safety agencies and other federal, state, and local government users, to confidentially choose the best DJI drone for each mission, boasted the firm, which perhaps justifiably claims they have a dominant position in the global small drone market, which they do. DJI has not been under, this is not the first time they've been under the gun. So, again, another Chinese company that is potentially being targeted here. Gateway. Remember that computer company? Well, Gateway returns with exclusive Walmart lineup of laptops and tablets. Products range from mainstream laptops to two-in-ones. So an era of Gateway is coming back. And, yes, remember the cow box? It looked like a Holstein cow. That's what Gateway computers came in, for those of you that remember. So Gateway's returning to Walmart. Apparently, T-Mobile and Verizon is continues to have a little bit of a, you know, tumble bumble when it comes to openly taking shots at the competition. Few industry compared to the wireless sector. You know, T-Mobile is branding itself as an uncarrier, knocking rivals AT&T and Verizon in press releases and earning calls and in marketing campaigns. Well, they had a little tit for tat after Verizon CEO tweeted Wednesday of news coming at 9 a.m. Eastern. T-Mobile sent out an email to reporters at 8:33 a.m. this morning, anticipating the news that he was going teasing about was the launch of Verizon's nationwide 5G network. T-Mobile's email was a preemptive strike against the nation's largest carrier. A statement from T-Mobile's president of technology blasted Verizon's 5G strategy, with Ray claiming that Verizon's claim of 5G built right is the height of irony. Unlike T-Mobile, Verizon is relying on technology known as dynamic spectrum sharing. So anyway, they're going at it. Press release for press release, or press event for press event. Can't let one get ahead of the other, for sure. Now, if you have, are you seriously motivated? NASA wants to buy moon rocks from private companies. So yes, they want you to send a probe to the moon to collect and package up rocks. Today, space agent putting in a call, challenging him to snag sample of rocks on the moon surface. The companies will have to prove they actually collected lunar sample in some kind of small container by sending pictures and data to NASA. If satisfied, NASA pledges to purchase the samples for between, get this, $15,000 and $25,000. Eventually, NASA will retrieve the rock samples and bring them back to Earth. Is this, ladies and gentlemen, is this a wise expenditure of taxpayer dollars? Why in the world do they need rocks? Didn't they have rocks before? Now, the conspiracy theorist out there will say, NASA never went to the moon. We never put a man on the moon. That was all staged. People will say that. So if we went to the moon and we bought back dirt and rocks, why does NASA need rocks again? And it will pay $15,000 to $25,000. Now, how much is it going to cost to go to the moon with a rover to pick up rocks? And they want that to happen before 2024. You know, NASA wants to pay companies for rocks. 15 to 25 grand for a small container of rocks. And they want that before 2024. I'm confused. You have to collect a lot of rocks at $15,000 a pop to pay for a rocket and a secondary rocket to get out of the gravitational pull of the Earth to go towards the moon. I don't get it. I really don't. This is the most stupid thing I've ever heard, that they want rocks. We are putting policies in place to practice to fuel a new era of exploration. You want to put something on the table, pay for someone to get to the moon and set up shop. Then they can send you back all the rocks you need. It's really, really odd. Okay. You get a lot of robocalls in your iPhone or Android phone? Fight back against the constant annoying scams. We've got some good information here on how to set some of this block calling up that's going on. Link will be up in the show notes. A good article from The Verge be in the show notes. Also, AT&T. Yes, we talk about them in such loving voices all the time. AT&T hopes you'll forget its year-long fight against accurate broadband maps because they're calling for new maps, and they're ignoring its ongoing fight against more data. AT&T spent the past decade fighting the U.S. government's attempts to improve the country's horrible broadband maps, is now claiming to be very concerned about the mapping problem that has helped thwart efforts to wire up millions of American homes without adequate broadband access. AT&T CEO John Stankey this week published an opinion piece in Politico with the apparent goals of improving AT&T's reputation, reducing government regulation, and getting more federal funding. The piece is titled A Game Plan to Finally Connect Every American to Broadband. And the first item on AT&T's game plan is identify where broadband is unavailable with geographic precision. Oh my goodness. He says, listen to this hypocrisy. We need to telescope our broadband maps for the macro census block level to the micro building level to understand with more precision where broadband is unavailable. The government's existing mapping methodology is past its shelf life, currently does not identify the exact number and location of households that do not have meaningful broadband service, especially in rural areas. Congress recognized this in March by passing the Broadband Data Act. Why is AT&T, ladies and gentlemen, getting concerned now? There's this guy named Elon Musk. Well, anyway, Congress recognized this in March by passing the Broadband Data Act, which will create a more accurate and detailed map of broadband availability, helping companies like mine have the information needed to determine the focus and cost deployment. The only problem is that Congress hasn't yet appropriated the funds for more granular maps, although legislation is currently pending. Yet, in 2011, AT&T told the FCC that ISPs should have to report their street addresses where they deployed broadband and should not be required to report actual broadband speeds. In February 2013, AT&T met with the FCC to discuss how collecting more accurate broadband data would pose new burdens on AT&T. In October 2017, AT&T told the FCC that the commission's proposal to collect mobile broadband and voice subscribership and fix broadband deployment at a more gradual level should be rejected because it would not generate useful information. And another, in October 2007, I just can go on. There is at least 9 times that AT&T has pushed back on the FCC to get better data. They want more money, and they're not going to get more money unless there's better maps. So Stanky's game plan could result in the broadband industry getting more money. He said millions of American families can't afford or may lack access to high-speed broadband, and that homework gap is up many low-income minority and rural students without adequate connectivity. Yes, it has. Hello? Are you? It is so much hypocrisy. Congress is debating earmarking up to $80 billion for rural broadband as part of the next round of pandemic relief, but probably won't get passed. And they smell that big pile of green cash. Here in my area, I have broadband here. Fantastic. If I drive, I know we're one home less than 1 mile from this building. A rural home within less than 1 mile from this building cannot get any broadband. The only thing they have is their cell phones. That's it. 1 mile from this building right here. Think they're frustrated? And I live 13 miles from here, really, in a truly rural area. And you guys know my situation. So come on, Elon Musk. Let's put some more satellites in the air. Let's get that money rolling to you so that these idiots at AT&T who never, ever do what they're supposed to do. And they're not. They don't have any desire to fix rural broadband. They don't. They absolutely don't. They just see that free cash, and then they can deploy a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there, make all the people that are in the contract people happy, and the rest of us continue to be screwed. Eat dirt, AT&T. Eat dirt, Verizon. Eat dirt, T-Mobile. I hope you all eat dirt. Because all of you mobile companies have fought accurate broadband mapping. I have absolute. I hope they don't get a dime. Not a dime. Not a dirty dime. Facebook, well, they know college kids are not on Facebook. They're on Instagram. They're on Snapchat. They're on TikTok. Facebook launches campus to keep college kids connected again. Please, please, college goers, don't use this app. Don't. Find something else to use. Please, 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 don't use this portion of the app. Go do something else on another platform. Nothing that Facebook owns either. That means nothing on Instagram. Because you're the next generation of people that are sucked in to Facebook's ability to shape minds. So Facebook is making Facebook more like old Facebook. Move on. Bose has announced a $279 quiet comfort earbuds and $179 sport earbuds. And, you know, the problem I have is now I've just learned I have to have wired earbuds or I lose stuff. I just can't have any of these loosey-goosey. I still have my Apple earbuds. I don't use them as much as I do because I'm just living on Zoom. But I just can't buy these small earbuds anymore. If I'm going to go to the gym, I'm using wired ones because I just have a tendency to lose these things. How about you? But $279 for the quiet comfort and $179 for the sport earbuds. Android Go 11 squeezes more performance for modern budget phones. So basically, it now supports phones with 2 gigabits of RAM up to 270 megabytes from Android Go 10. So basically, they're trying to get Android Go 11 basically into more low-end phones. So the Android worldwide market can continue to increase. Amazon has hired its first head of space policy. A former White House official, I believe that served both under both Bush and Obama's administration. His name is Peter Marquez. He joins AWS as Jeff Bezos' trillion-dollar tech giant expands its influence and services in the space industry, most recently with establishment of AWS Aerospace and Satellite Solutions Division. They got so much money. Look at this. Who was in the space business? Boeing, Lockheed Martin, companies like that, right? Big synonymous names of American technology and power and military contracts and commercial airplanes. And now you have Amazon Web Services establishing the AWS Aerospace and Satellite Solutions Division. Don't tell me these companies don't have a pile of money. And look what they're doing. It's really, really an interesting move by these groups. They're getting into the space business. I mean, it makes you sit back and think a little bit how things are changing in America on who the power players are. Apple, power player. Microsoft, power player. Amazon, power player. It just, you know, and who's in decline? Boeing, Lockheed Martin, all these companies, Intel, all these companies are big names, are in decline. It's really, really amazing. It really is. And yet, here we sit, 6-7 months, whatever it is, into the middle of this pandemic, and these big companies are getting bigger and small companies are just being decimated. Twitter's expanding rules against election-related misinformation, setting up a showdown with the president, according to CNN Business. I wouldn't expect anything less from CNN to say that. So Twitter's porous and subject to policies. I don't even want to read that. The social media giant read off the new policies in a blog post, which said Twitter will either add fact-check labels or hide altogether tweets that contain false and misleading information that cause confusion about election rules or posts with unverified information about election rigging. Hey, Kirk, when it comes to news and politics articles, anything that comes from like CNN, Fox, any of those folks, that's real subject. If we have a, if Twitter's doing a rules change or something, I'd much rather see something come from the folks over at, you know, one of the major folks like CNET or some of those other folks versus CNN Business, because all of these news organizations are just big misinformation campaigns across the board. So anyway, just a heads up, because I really, I'll be honest with you, I really despise at this point almost all of the mainstream media reporting stuff. Anything I see on their sites or come across them is always got a spin. It's always got just this, it's so annoying. It really, really is. Here's another one. This is interesting. Google says it's eliminating autocomplete suggestions that target candidates or voting. And the presidential election, every man, my God, what is, we have lost our damn minds in this country. And the U.S. presidential election, Google says it's taken a number of steps to improve the quality of information it highlights across its various search and news products. Google executives outlined these changes in an online press event today, as well as in a blog post. The biggest challenge seems to be in its policies around autocomplete. The feature where Google suggests a search based on what you've typed so far. The company says it will now remove autocomplete predictions that seem to endorse or oppose a candidate or a political party, or make a claim about voting or the electoral process. That would mean eliminating predictions like you can vote by phone, you can vote by, you can't vote by phone, or anything suggesting that you donate to a party or candidate. At the same time, Google emphasizes this only applies to autocomplete. Users will still be able to search for information around voting and or candidates. You just won't see those queries automatically. Let me go over to Google. Let me do something here. Go to google.com and let me type in Joe. So second thing in the search is Joe Biden. It's auto-completing. The first one is Joe Budden. That's funny. Let's go and do Donald. And Donald Trump is the first. Donald Trump. Donald Trump Nobel Peace Prize. Donald Trump Jr. Donald Trump net worth. What's the other ones for Joe Biden? Let me look. Joe Biden. Joe Biden running mate. Joe Biden age. Joe Biden VP pick. Joe Biden net worth. Joe Biden vice president. Joe Biden policies. Joe Biden Twitter. So, yeah, Joe Biden's got a lot of autocomplete. So autocomplete's still working on Google. They haven't shut it off yet. So when are they going to shut it off? They haven't shut it off. Okay. At least here on my search results. I don't care who you vote for. Just vote. Russia, China, and Iran are launched cyber attacks on presidential campaigns, Microsoft says. The announcement comes as the presidential campaigns are now pushing into the final 2 months of the race. This was big news on all the tech sites today. Hackers working for Russia, China, and Iran recently escalated their attacks around the U.S. presidential race as Election Day looms. Now, here's the takeaways. China wants Biden to win. Russia wants Trump to win. And Iran, of course, obviously, wants Biden to win. So that cyber attack targeting is largely been centered around specific campaigns and specific people working for campaigns, depending if it comes from Russia, China, and Iran. How about that? Surprise, surprise. Would we be surprised at all that China doesn't want President Trump to be reelected? There should be no surprise in that, you know, after they've tried to kill half the world in retaliation, in my opinion. It's very, very obvious here. Let's talk about a little more happy news. Oracle stock jumps as company returns to growth. Oracle increased revenue in a quarter and topped estimates after sales declined in the period. They had 93 cents per share, adjusted versus 80 cents per share as expected. Revenue 9.37 versus 9.19 billion. So revenue grew by 2%, so they had a good quarter. TikTok's in talks with the U.S. government to avoid full sale of operations. TikTok's talks with the United States government have increased recently. the Chinese government actions to prevent the sale to U.S. companies served as a catalyst. Oh, I didn't know about this. The Chinese government's actions to prevent the sale to a U.S. company served as the catalyst. Reported by the Wall Street Journal, ByteDance, a company that owns TikTok, is in talks with the United States to potentially avoid having to sell its operations in the country. Discussions around such an option have risen in prominence since the Chinese government took steps to make a sale to U.S. technology giant like Microsoft more difficult. They take place against a fast-approaching deadline that the president is going to impose. So, isn't that interesting? So the Chinese, why? Why does the Chinese government not want TikTok to be sold to Microsoft? What did I miss? Why is that? Why is the Chinese government getting involved in the private sale? Is it maybe because the Chinese want that extra data and they know they're not going to get it no more? Is that the reason? Or do they want to intervene because they want to make the president look bad? Is that the reason? I would bet the later. If you don't know it, folks, we're already at war with China. You just don't know it yet. We are. We're at war with them. People don't believe that, but we're absolutely at war with China at this point. It may not be a gun blazing war, but we're at war. Bose has also launched 3 new sunglasses with speakers for its Frames line. Tempo was made for sports, while Tenor and Soprano are for everyday use. So, anyway, I guess you can basically, you've got speakers built into some sunglasses. The folks over at Android Central have a list of cars that support Android Auto. And let me go down here to Ford. The 2017 C-Max, Edge, Escape, Everest. My 2019 Edge will support Android Auto. Well, maybe not the full version. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes on that. Walmart has begun testing drone deliveries for household goods and groceries. The company's launched a pilot program in North Carolina, specifically Fayetteville, North Carolina. The retailer will be delivering select grocery and household essential items using automated drones operated by Israeli startup Flytrex. So how about that? Lucid, yes, the car manufacturer Lucid. I would never have a car company called Lucid. Lucid announces the price and specs for the Air electric sedan. So on Wednesday, Lucid Motors unveiled the production version for its first electric vehicle. Due to be delivered in quarter 2, 2021, uses Formula E proven battery tech to achieve a range of 517 miles with 113 kilowatt battery pack. Despite a steady drip feed of air-related news over the past few months, it's going to set you back $80,000 for the one that does 517 miles. The entry level will cost you $60,000. Oh, no. Even more. The biggest gun here is Air Dream Edition. I do mean big, 1,080 horsepower, 0 to 60 in 2.5 seconds, standing quarter mile in 9.9, and a price tag of $169,000 or $161,500 once you file your tax return and claim your IRC 30D credit. The trade-offs for so much power and speed is a slight range hit. Oh, my gosh. These luxury electric vehicles can only be afforded by the ultra-rich. Equinix warns that it's infected with ransomware, promises it can carry on regardless. I don't know what this company does, who they support. This is a Register article. So apparently some company in the UK. That's my take on it. All right. So I'm at the end of the regular content for tonight, but hold on. Don't go anywhere. I do have some email that came in. First one is from Lawrence. And actually, Larry, Todd, I had a conspiracy theory pop in my head last week. Now, I haven't read this. This is the first I've opened this up, okay? So I'm going to read it, but I saw one word in here that triggered me and thought, uh-oh, danger, Will Rogers. But he says, current POTUS is in fact a reptilian alien in human form. This explains his odd hair, strange shape, billowing clothes, and those tiny, tiny, tiny hands. Also could be source of his contempt for those outside of his own family and passion for portraying first responders as heroic warriors, rushing to their deaths, saying this is a beautiful thing with a soft, wistful tone. Be well, Larry. Jeez. Okay. Conspiracy theory. All right. Thank you, for Larry. Also got an email. He said, hey, Todd, just from outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. Traffic has been mostly back to normal in the last few weeks. This past 30, I noticed the floor stickers marking aisle directions were gone from my local Publix. I would note Harris Teeter, a local chain, never did put floor arrows or aisle markers in their stores. They mirror all other stores in having signs prompting for mask use and clear plastic shields at all checkouts. Food Lion gets the style award for covering the edge of those sheets with blue tape, which is one of their signature colors. Food Lion's choice of eye level, one-way do not enter signs at eye level, was easier to notice than similar floor stickers. Other than precautions at checkout, Walmart has never had any aisle markers. Only one of three entrances is open, and customers must enter on the left to get their cart and exit on the left. Same here. That must be a nationwide policy. The other entrances is blocked, but the doors have been unblocked, but the doors have been deactivated. I think that's a fire issue. I keep my PC cam and microphone turned off as far as possible. I'd never consider my any IoT device, and I disable any tablet assistance when I get the laptop. I'll be using from my contract. I always shut down mic and cam too. I've noticed that HP has come back to providing a sliding shutter on the cam. It bothers me that every time I launch Zoom webinar, it turns the mic back on, even though the system audio has it disabled. It does also insist on muting the Zoom speaker channel and my computer audio mixer, even though I have separately set the Zoom app to not mute the audio when joining the meetings. Aloha, Larry. Thanks so much, Larry, for your emails. Do I have anything else? Oh, I do want to thank Rod for the thumb drive and appreciate the donation of being able to keep the thumb drive. And I'm definitely going to appreciate that mini series. Again, if you want to send DVDs, hard drives of any type of a movie collection that you own, that you know that you're going to be transferring those DVDs to me as well, happy to take your donation. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. A little bit snarky by me tonight, of course. And looking forward to the weekend, really am, to be honest with you. I really desperately need to get more exercise. I even internally have my own health concerns because this has just gone on too long and need to walk more. I've been doing that, but hope you're all surviving. And I think in the end, more of us are going to die from stress from this thing than anything else. We'll see. Of course, they'll never report those numbers. If you have a heart attack and die during COVID, do you die of COVID or do you die of a heart attack? I think in some states you die of COVID. But anyway, it's been my pleasure to bring you the show here. We'll be back with you on Monday. Don't think there's any holidays between now and Thanksgiving. I don't remember any anyway. But Hawaii is still locked down. When it's going to unlock, nobody knows. The natives, though, are all my friends that are there still are getting a bit restless. There's more pushback going to the governor finally. I think we've all been a little bit too much sheepish with our governments and our states that we live in. But I'm ready for 2020 really to be over, and we're not even close yet. So anyway, we'll see what happens. All right, everyone, thanks for being here. Take care. Geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. And be safe. Take care of one another. Take care of the elderly. Watch out for one each other. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.